I'm Larry Reed, President and CEO of American Manganese, Inc., listed on the TSX Venture, ticker symbol AMY, A-M-Y, with proprietary patents in the U.S., China, and South Africa. Our focus is on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. China recently legislated the responsibility for recycling onto their electric vehicle manufacturers and importers. For more information, please visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Ted Dixon, CEO and co-founder of InkResearch.ca, Canada's first online financial news and research service. His website, CanadianInsider.com. Welcome back to the show, Ted.
Oh, it's great to be here, Jim.
Jitters in the gold market. Maybe explain that for us.
Well, what we've seen in the last week or so has been a flurry of Federal Reserve activity hitting the headlines, prepping the market for the upcoming meeting on March 15th, where the Fed is now basically telegraphed it's going to be raising rates. And the big question going forward is, for the Canadian market, it's going to be how aggressive will the Fed be as it's moving to raise rates here? Is this a one and done and they're going to sit back and assess, or are they basically going to signal that there's more rate hikes coming? They've already mentioned that in their projections, everyone will be listening to Janet Yellen during her press conference to see how much conviction is behind that. And if there's a high degree of conviction, then this could be a big headwind for gold, because as U.S. Rates move up, if inflation does not move up faster than the rate hikes, then that will be a drag on gold. There's no doubt about it. Now, the other thing to keep in mind here is that, I think it's naive to believe that the Fed is acting, solely here by looking at its inflation indicators and employment indicators. I mean, I'm sure there are a number of officials on the Fed that see this as possible payback time to the Trump administration, to Donald Trump, for his comments in the campaign. And his gloating about the stock market rally in the U.S. I'm sure there are a number of Fed officials who would just love to kind of pull that rug out from under him. Now, the problem facing the Fed, though, is they don't want to get blamed for it. I mean, they would rather Donald Trump take the heat for any market pullback than them. So it'll be interesting to see how aggressive they are. And for the Canadian resource market, particularly the mining area, what we have to watch for next week is whether the Fed kind of backs off a little bit, just to see how it's going with respect to the stock market, or whether they're to kind of go for the jugular and telegraph aggressive rate rises. You know, we've seen in our top 20 gold report, which we distributed to Canadian Insider Club members this week and Inc. Research subscribers, we noted that our gold stock sentiment indicator has been falling lately, and that's not a good sign, because gold share prices have been falling as well over the same period. And usually you'd like to see the indicator move up. You want to see insiders doing more buying as stock prices come down, and we're seeing the opposite. So what's happening here, I think, is they're taking a little bit of money off the table in advance of this Fed meeting. And they've had a good run, so why not take some profits? Now, the backdrop, though, is it's still a very bullish level for the intermediate term. So I would see this as a tactical move by insiders to reduce their risk heading into a very potentially volatile political season, because you've got the Fed in play, but you've also got Donald Trump trying to push through some key agenda items. And we'll see how successful he is. His big first big test is Obamacare. And, of course, then you've got all the noise in the background about intelligence agency investigations of, you know, members of his team. And you know, the Trump tweets that hit the wires kind of randomly on the weekend. So, you know, there's a lot of politics in the next few weeks that could establish a an uptrend in the stock market or a downtrend. I mean, we just don't know how it's going to play out. Why not take some profits in the gold sector? Now, it's not all an uphill battle for gold, as we've as we mentioned in our report. Although on balance, I think the interest rate, real interest rate moves are going to be the dominant theme. We have rising geopolitical tensions in the world. This does not get a lot of attention here in North America, but in Asia, the pot is simmering and the temperature is rising. And you know, it's just amazing how complacent equity investors are to the risks surrounding North Korea in particular, on the recent moves it's made around the globe, Jim. It's really quite astonishing what's been going on there.
We'll have more with Ted Dixon right after the break.
Gem International is a new diamond explorer in the richest diamond producing country in Africa, located next to the fourth largest producing diamond mine in the world. International Spotlight is on an 1109 carat diamond recently discovered in Africa by a fellow Canadian junior with a proven operator and finance team. Gem International trades on the TSX Venture Exchange, symbol GI. Visit us at gemdiamondmining.com.
Avon Resources Limited is a gold exploration company with significant projects in British Columbia, Saskatchewan, and the Yukon. Trading on the TSX Venture Exchange, symbol ABN, and the pink symbol ABNAF. Surrounded by world-class gold deposits and mines, Avon's 23,000 hectares Forest Kerr Gold Project is located in the heart of the Golden Triangle in northwestern BC. For more information, visit us at avonresources.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Ted Dixon. Ted, before the break, you were saying a lot of tension caused by North Korea. I know they launched a number of missiles over the weekend. Is this something that's going to affect the markets, or do we just say this is normal activity for North Korea?
Well, so far it's been the latter, but it isn't normal activity. It's actually accelerated activity. Let's look what's happened just recently. Okay, we've had Kim Jong-un essentially murder his half-brother in Malaysia, okay? And why would that be? Well, he was seen as one of the potential successors should his regime be overthrown or challenged, even though the half-brother didn't show any interest in politics. Currently, obviously, the North Korean little dictator there, well, he's not so little, but you know, didn't like the thought of maybe a draft movement happening. So this is very interesting, and we've also seen now on YouTube emerge of the son of the murdered half brother that is. In somehow has been protected I guess you'd have to call it rumors at this point, because it hasn't been confirmed by any, I guess, you know, sort of mainstream media source. And so it's probably a bit of a stretch to take it as fact, but there he, you know, this 21 year old son appears to have been rescued from, the clutches of the, North Korean spy agencies, and one has to wonder, well, who's harboring this 21-year-old? You know, it could be Western intelligence agencies. It could be China. I mean, China has to be very concerned with the aggressiveness of North Korea at this point. It's fine to have North Korea as a buffer between China and South Korea, but it's not so fine if they're getting so aggressive that you've now got a new American missile system that's being deployed in South Korea, you've got, a lot of attention by the United States to propping up its defenses in the region, it seems. This is not in China's interest. So how long will they tolerate the North Korean regime in its own political interest, in China's own political interest, remains to be seen. Now, getting back to this escalating situation, we also have North Korea holding hostage now a number of Malaysians in North Korea as kind of a tit-for-tat spat over the investigation of the murder of the half-brother of the North Korean leader. So now North Korea has a number of hostages that they have. They're not Western hostages. Probably, they would be more valuable, I guess, geopolitically if they were Japanese or American hostages. But nevertheless, they have corralled, unfortunately, 11 Malaysians in the city. In the country. Now, let's get back to the big event. What happened just on the weekend, and this was the firing of a number of missiles off the coast of Japan. Now, the reports were four, but there might have been more. Now, Jim, can you imagine if Cuba had fired four missiles, just offshore of Florida? Where would the markets be? There would be absolute mayhem. But, for some reason, because it's off in the distance, and we've had, this quirky North Korean regime, do kind of sporadic behavior, no one's paying attention. But when you start putting the pieces together, it becomes a little bit more dicey. Right now, the Trump administration, does not have a full fleet of diplomatic specialists and bureaucrats in the State Department. They're still trying to fill those positions. So the Trump administration is still not fully prepared should there be a major conflict. For example, it does not have an ambassador to Japan. It does not have an ambassador to South Korea. And Rex Tillerson is heading into the region next week. So we will see what happens. But there seems to be an opportunity opening up for North Korea. If it really wants to make a move, why wouldn't it do it when it has, a new administration coming in the U.S. that's not fully equipped to handle a crisis and, would possibly be a destabilizing force on the U.S. administration. The Trump administration has not been tested yet, and maybe North Korea will be the first test. We don't know, and that's not a prediction. But certainly the risks with that state, have risen, and they're not simmering down. And it's certainly one that maybe these building risks, may be a factor, though, of the recent sell-off in the stock market. But gold has also been selling off, but it hasn't sold off substantially. So while you'll have a lot of arbitragers and algorithmic traders selling gold on the interest rate outlook, you'll also have people who are probably reluctant to sell all their gold, institutions, just because, geopolitical risks remain elevated, and that will be the tailwind that gold has. But it will be more of an intermediate time frame tailwind. Short term, though, the interest rate outlook is the biggest challenge facing the gold market right here.
We'll have more with Ted Dixon right after this.
I'm Bill McWilliam, president of Cascadero Copper, CCD on the TSX Venture Exchange. Cesium is one of the world's rarest metals with a growing industrial demand. Drilling is underway on our Tehran property in Argentina to prove up a cesium resource. Cascadero's patent-pending leach process has the potential to make Cascadero the lowest-cost supplier of cesium in the world. Visit our website, cascadero.com, or phone us at 604-924-5504.
Keep informed. Receive our weekly recap of thought-provoking articles, podcasts, and radio delivered to your inbox for free. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage, HowStreet.com. Welcome back. We're chatting with Ted Dixon. Ted, maybe one of the reasons why we're not hearing a lot about North Korea is all the major media organizations in the U.S. are concentrating so much on the personal things involving Trump that they're really not looking outside the U.S. borders right now.
Well, certainly there, U.S. Media outlets don't have to reach for content with the Trump administration in place, that's for sure. They do provide a lot of news news headlines. So, no, I think that's part of the issue. And we'll see if the two come together soon. I mean, the North Koreans have a major opportunity here with Rex Tillerson heading into Asia to overshadow the visit with semantics. And if they don't, if the Tillerson visit to Asia next week goes off without North Korea doing anything, well, then maybe it means behind the scenes there's something happening that we don't know about. And that, and one can only hope that that's, you know, what the case is. You know, we shall see. But, you know, the Trump administration has, seems to be exist in two different media worlds. In the mainstream media, Washington Post, CNN, New York Times, you would think the Trump administration is about to implode. When you look at the financial media and the reaction of the stock market and also real economy players such as purchasing managers and small business owners, they're in a completely different world. They're quite ecstatic about the Trump administration, particularly with their pledge to reduce regulations and taxes. So we're seeing a polarization in the U.S. again, but this time it's not left and right, and it's not, you know, rich or poor. It seems to be the mainstream political news organizations versus economic news and economic actors, and I think the Trump administration understands that. So they're gonna move along here, and they're not gonna worry about rocking the boat a little bit, and they don't really care what the New York Times and CNN and the Washington Post have to say. They're more encouraged by seeing new orders shoot up in the manufacturing surveys and seeing small business sentiment shoot up to multi-year highs.
Well, when Trump declared the mainstream media the enemy of the people, didn't he just make himself some really, truly great enemies, because they're going to try to dig up as much dirt on him if he's going to insult him?
Well, maybe he's betting that most of the dirt's already been dug up, you know, and you know, there's been a lot. I don't know what more they can dig up that you know would shake him. They're having more success with people around him, and that has proven to be the most success that the mainstream media have had in kind of making inroads on that, on, you know, shaking up the Trump administration. But they haven't been able to shake the president much.
The Canadian dollar at its lowest level versus the U.S. dollar this year. It's now 74 cents. Is this slide going to continue?
Probably, because of two things. We'll get weakness in oil, but we will, you know, that's kind of, I'm going to say it's almost a random situation. Oil is kind of off in its own world, and we could talk about that on a whole show, I think, you know, for oil. But let's assume that oil is going to be weak here. That's going to hurt the Canadian dollar. But then, of course, we've got the Bank of Canada, which, you know, has got a one-track focus on propping up low value-added exporters. They don't care about anything else in the economy. They don't care about people buying homes. They don't care about the poor. They just care about low value-added exporters. That's all Stephen Poloz cares about. And he's going to resist raising interest rates, even though inflation is above the Bank of Canada target. He'll come up with all sorts of excuses. Even though there was a study delivered, a very powerful study delivered last week that criticized the U.S. Federal Reserve, is by five well-respected economists, criticized Federal Reserve for using the wrong indicator to judge its to execute its monetary policy, basically inflation expectations. But the big one is this so-called output gap, which is all you ever hear from Stephen Poloz, is the output gap. And basically the paper said, oh no, it doesn't work. Well, here we in Canada, we've had a central bank governor who's been flapping on about the output gap since he's been appointed. And lo and behold, you know, there's strong evidence that this is a meaningless indicator. And so we've had monetary policy that run in Canada, you know, basically through the lens of a meaningless indicator. It's still being run that way. Why, you know, the Canadian dollar, if it continue, if it doesn't fall below 70 cents, and I hope it doesn't, but it probably will, it'll be just through the strength of the Canadian economy and the people in the Canadian economy. You know, Canadian economy, by a number of measures, a number of forecasters, is expected to grow as much as the American economy. So the fundamental reasons for the Canadian dollar to fall are not there, aside from, you know, the sweetness in oil. But if the oil can just sort of behave itself, then the Canadian dollar may have a chance of staying above 70 cents, despite the misguided policies of our central bank. And by the way, you know, for Canadians, the case for owning gold is a lot stronger right now than Americans, just because we have a central bank that, you know, is fairly reckless in its policy execution and, you know, is essentially, you know, well, it's got a one-track mind on propping up this one group in the economy. And if you're not part of that group, you're going to be a loser. So it's really going to be tough times for the loonie, but if oil does manage to regain its legs, then maybe we'll keep the loonie above 70 cents.
Ted, thank you so much for chatting with us.
It's great to be back.
My guest has been Ted Dixon, CEO and co-founder of InkResearch.ca, his website, CanadianInsider.com. You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio. You can send us questions at info@HowStreet.com. I'm Jim Goddard. Thanks for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.